This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Solution for humanity.
Becomes evil when religion does not address the concerns of the masses. Those who profess faith via their tongue, but faith has not really penetrated in their hearts. On the basis of religion, people are being divided. Some people are going to be reciting the Quran, at the same time, the Quran is cursing them.
I begin by greeting my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic is when religion becomes evil. Of all the forces that are present in our world today, in history, as well as in the future, they said that the force with most impact, the most persuasive force that humanity has ever known is religion. The best of acts have taken place because of religious beliefs. The worst of acts have taken place again because of religious beliefs. And that is why the Quran addresses not only the importance of religion and the importance of having belief, correct belief and acting upon it, but also the Quran addresses another important concept, and that is prevent religion from becoming evil. Because sometimes, as good as religion it is, and that's the intention, of course, behind it, we said, make sure that the religion is not misused. And instead of being a source of harmony, as what we want to have, religion becomes a source of evil. And the Quran points out to 10 reasons, or 10 things. When they are out there, then that religion is becoming a source of evil. Religion is turning into something evil. Not that the religion itself is inherently evil, but rather the people who are adhering to it or who claim to adhere to it are making it evil themselves. So let's look, inshallah, very quickly to some of these points that the Quran makes. Number one, say that when religion becomes a competition for the truth, when religion becomes a competition for truth, not the implementation of the truth, but rather it becomes a competition for we have the truth and you do not. It becomes a leverage that is used for superiority complex or for inferiority complex. I am better than you, not on the basis of my merits or the basis of my qualifications, just on the basis of what I claim to be. And the Quran addresses this topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said about a group of people, no, there is this competition. Muslims saying to the Jews and to the Christians, we are better. And Christians saying to the Jews saying that, we are better and we are going to paradise on the basis that we are Muslims, on the basis that we are Jews. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a quarrel to this. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. It said that paradise is not rewarded to people on the basis of wishful thinking. So Allah says it's not by your wishes or the wishes of the people of the book. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. He who acts erroneously, he who makes a poor choice, will be punished for it. And he who acts in a righteous manner will be rewarded for it. The Quran is full of this. Where this is made, these kind of slogans are mentioned. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَى عَلَى شَيْءٍ. And the Jews and the Christians say that the beliefs of the Christians are baseless. And the Christians say the beliefs of the Jews are baseless. And the Jews say that the beliefs of the Christians are baseless. And then they make the وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا, that the hellfire would only touch us for few numerated days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is all irrelevant. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That by the end of the day, it's not what you have claimed that you are, but rather it is what you have done. So instead of it being a source of mercy, what is religion turning into? Wishful thinking. It's just going to be a matter of superiority and inferiority, not on the basis of merits again, but rather on the basis of personal claims. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he spoke of religion, he was always speaking of the heart of religion, what really matters. And that's why they come to the conclusion, if what you believe in does not impact how you behave, then what you believe in is not important. You can say all sorts of statements about yourself. You can make all good slogans about what you believe in. But if you do not put what you believe in action, then what you believe in is not important. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes get up and he would address people and he would say, "Ya ma'shara man amana bi lisanihi wa lam yu'min bi qalbihi." Or you crowd of people, he would say that there are amongst us those who profess faith via their tongue, but faith has not really penetrated in their hearts. So the minute that happens, it becomes a competition for the truth. And as a result, how do we show that we are winning? You know, get more people, more followers, build more masjid, more temples, churches, synagogues, and what have you. Because now we are competing for the truth. We are not competing to implement the truth that we have. Number two, when people look into their own religions and what they are guilty of, what we refer to as selective reading of religion, selectively picking and choosing that this part of religion I like, this part of religion I like, not the whole, but rather I like this part of it and I do not like this part of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to such kind of people. أَفَتَأْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in portions of the book and reject other portions of the book? If you say that this book is from God Almighty, then the natural consequences of it is that I will have to take the whole of it. I cannot pick and choose and say I want to be here or I want to do this and I want to do that. There is an interesting story that took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are told that the non-believers came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they have a deal with him. They want to strike a deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, لا نعشر ولا نجب ولا نحشر وأن تأذن لنا بالزنا وشرب الخمر وأن تمتعنا باللات والعزة سنتين. They came to him and they said, we have an idea for you. We will become Muslims. However, certain conditions would have to apply. They say, لا نعشر. We don't pay zakah. Said that, that's the deal. We're making a deal with you that we will not pay zakah. Meaning that the elimination of poverty is not our business. And then they said, ولا نحشر. Whenever there is jihad, that oppression needs to be eliminated, do not count upon us. And then when there is Hajj, pilgrimage, we do not want to be part of the people who go to Hajj with just every Joe and Mo out there. That's not for us. And that you do not forbid fornication for us. Because we like to fornicate. We want to fornicate. We want to keep doing that. And this alcohol, we love a lot. We cannot give up alcohol. So that this goddess that we used to worship by the name of Allah, we just don't want to give it up just like that. Let us enjoy it for one more year. And then we are going to become Muslims. So what they're saying is that they are putting conditions, selectively reading that I like this part or I do not like this part. I'm going to follow this, but I'm not going to follow that. At that point, when religion is not taken its entirety, what happens is that our own creation at that time makes it very, very evil. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what do the hypocrites do? When they know that the religion is in agreement with their own desires, what do? They quote the Quran. because they know that in this particular situation, the Quran is on their side. So at that point, quoting the Quran is not because of the goodness of the Quran. It becomes quoting the Quran is now because it's very convenient for them. It gives legitimacy to their claim. However, when it's not in their favor, what do they do? We are told back then, is that they say that it is against our desires. It does not make sense to us. The same way that say, oh, you're misquoting the Quran, or you're doing this, or you're doing that. But the idea is, there is a selective reading that is going on, where you only mention portions of the book, but not everything else. And by the way, all religions are guilty of this, my brothers and sisters. SubhanAllah, especially Ahlul Kitab. Because the teachings of Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, Musa, Moses, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is that it was complete. But the people that claim that they follow them, they will only take portions of the book. They will only follow this when it's convenient, and follow that when it's that convenient. And what happens as a result is that we create evil, we do not create religion. Number three, when we become intolerant of one another. See, brothers and sisters, very clearly we have to understand this point. Tolerance is for people, not for ideas. Please understand this point with me. Tolerance is for people, not for ideas. You may hold any idea you want. By no means I should be compelled to see things the way that you do. But because you do not see things the way I do, it does not give me a license that I verbally or physically abuse you. So I tolerate you as an individual, but by no means it means that I must accept your ideas. That's why we say people can have any idea they want. You can say anything you want. You can say Cuba democracy. You can say the president of the United States is a profound thinker. You can say anything you want. But the idea is what? Because you said it, it does not mean that other people must accept it. And because other people did not accept it, it does not by any means give them a license that they ought to do something to you, especially if it is physical. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are told in the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَجَعَلَ رَبُّكَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Had it been the will of thy Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have made all people follow one path.
Regarding duties,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever sleeps over a prayer or forgets it, he must pray it as soon as he remembers it. There are no expiations other than that.
Putting queries.
How to offer salah while traveling?
Can a woman travel without a mahram?
Is it true that actions are based upon intention?
Taking responsibilities.
To answer all your questions and queries, join me in Umdat al-Ahkam.
Let's ponder the bestowed knowledge to approach the correct Islam. Join Asim al-Hakim in Umdatul Ahkam every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday at 10:30 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 11:30 p.m. UAE on Peace TV. Sundays provide.
In Britain, we are facing one big problem, that are you Muslim or British?
The space to talk.
In India, back home, they ask, are you a Muslim first or Indian first? And we Muslims should know how to reply, how to turn the tables over.
The place to knock.
Why Trinity cannot be regarded in that sense, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
The opportunity to ask.
But even if you agree that what the Christians say, that he was crucified, so if Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, died for 3 days, who controlled the world? That means even God died?
The freedom to unmask.
So there are various ways which we can prove the argument to be wrong.
Let's meet Dr. Zakir next on Peace TV.
وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَجَعَلَ رَبُّكَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Had it been the will of thy Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have made all people follow one path. But the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah gave us a free will, and people are going to make choices, and some are going to make better choices than other people, and some are going to make erroneous choices, poor choices, and some are going to make good choices. So then what happens? What do? Kill one another? Persecute one another? Torture one another? That is not the case. What happens is that we do not have to accept what other people are preaching or teaching or believing, but we must learn how to tolerate one another. That's why one time it was said that a student came to his sheikh, and the sheikh was speaking about people of other faith. So the student said, "You know what, sheikh? I have built a wall between me and people of other faith, simply because I'm very proud of what I have, and I have absolutely no respect for what they have." What does the sheikh say? He say, "My son, keep the wall, but lower it a little bit so that you're able to shake hands with your neighbors." And that is really the point of what we're talking about here. Tolerance does not mean acceptance of what other people have or forcing people to accept what we have. But the idea is, so that religion becomes a source of harmony, what we want is that we need to lower these walls, not that, so that we are able to shake each other's hands. And these are exactly the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially how he dealt with those who were of different faith. It said that one time there was this woman who made a habit that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he walks out of his house, she will dump all her garbage in front of his house, just to give him a hard time, just to make his life miserable. And the Prophet ﷺ would walk out, and he would see the garbage there, and he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." You know, how foolish of this woman. But the Prophet ﷺ did not do anything to her. And then it would be cleaned. So one day the Prophet ﷺ gets up in the morning, and he is walking out, no garbage, no trash. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? "Alhamdulillah. It's about time that no garbage is in front of me." He asks, "What's happening to the woman? Where did she go today?" So they said, "Prophet of Allah, she's feeling sick." What does he do? "Inshallah, she dies, because I don't want the garbage there anymore." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Let's go and visit her." See, that's what we mean by being tolerant, always being the better person. Because there is always this condemnation of the others without really having proving our own merits. But the Prophet ﷺ would condemn the beliefs. He would not accept it. But in the meantime, the Prophet ﷺ also tolerated the people who were there. The fourth point, my brothers and sisters, when religion becomes means of division, when on the basis of religion, people are being divided. You see this amongst, again, all faith. Religion is something that is supposed to unite us. But for some reason, it's now becoming a force that is dividing us. In Christianity, so much blood was shed in the name of Jesus, peace be upon him. Especially between the Protestants and the Catholics. Catholics and Protestants have been killing each other for a long, long, long time in Europe. And until very recently, they've been killing each other for a long time in Ireland and in the UK. In the name of Jesus, where everybody is claiming for themselves, in the name of religion that is supposed to bring peace and harmony, now that religion is bringing misery and is becoming evil. We saw it with Judaism. You've got the Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox, and you've got the liberals and the progressives and what have you. And then again, the same thing is happening with the Muslims, where the divisions are the Shias, the Sufis, the Tablighis, the Ikhwanis, the Salafis, and then you go on to the Hanbalis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, and then the Hanafis, and then and the division is just, every time religion is mentioned, there is this claim from one group, and as a result, that division is taking place. And if you look into the teachings of the Quran, they are a constant reminder of the need of unity. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. You may pray on your own and your prayers are accepted, but there is more reward when you pray with the rest of the believers. You may fast any time of the year, with the exception of Eid, but there is more reward when you fast the month of Ramadan with the rest of the believers. You may perform Umrah any time of the year, but there is more reward when you perform Hajj with the rest of the believers. You may pay your sadaqah any time of the year, but there is more reward when you pay it with the rest of the believers. Meaning that the idea is to bring harmony amongst the people who profess to that same faith. And what happens is that as a result, we are dividing amongst one another. We're not saying that we all have to see things the way, you know, one person sees it or one group sees it. But the idea is we cannot, in the name of religion, subhanallah, do what we're doing to one another. Killing taking place. You hear bombings taking place in Shia mosque, and then bombings taking place in Sunni mosque. You hear this is going on, and that it has gotten, subhanallah, so sad in our history that they say that in the haram, in the house of Allah, the salah was held, every single salah was held four times. Initially, the ahnaf, the Hanafis would come and pray, and then the Hanbalis would come and pray, and then the Malikis would come and pray, and then the Shafi'is would come and pray. People would come and ask the Shaykh, is it okay if a Hanafi man comes to want to marry my Shafi'i daughter? And you've got the divisions have gone so bad to the point where we may physically be together, but sometimes even physically being together is becoming very difficult. So at that point, religion is becoming evil, and it is not becoming a source of harmony for us. Fifth point is, when religion is disconnected from reality. When religion is disconnected from reality, at that point, religion is not addressing my affairs. They are not addressing the concerns of the community. So what happens is that it just becomes philosophy that is impractical and not implemented. Some people say, and they said that, you know, the good sheikhs, the good scholars, they talk about two issues. That which is above heavens, above the sky, and that which is underneath the ground. Talk to us about what happens after death, or talk to us what happens in the day of Qiyamah. Then what's happening in between? What's happening between the heavens and the earth? No, religion has nothing to do with that. Said that one time, reminds me of a joke. They said that an astrologer, people who claim to know the future by looking into the stars, was walking out to impress people. And he was looking up into the stars. And looking up, and people are waiting for the verdict. What is he going to say about the future? And as he is walking, he's not paying attention, and he falls into a ditch. He falls into a small hole that was there. So people looked at him and they said, what is the use of passing time looking up there and you do not even know what is going on underneath your feet? So what happens is that because of this disconnection between reality and religion, even though the religion itself does not do that, the religion itself does not say that. Brothers and sisters, look into all the messengers of Allah that are mentioned in the Quran. They came in not to invent problems that do not exist. They came in to deal with problems that are already there. They did not come to deny the problems of their times, but they came in to address the problems of their times. We see, for example, in Prophet Isa alayhi salam, where people are so materialistic. People do not know anything about spirituality. They are so good in only upholding the letter of the law, but so heedless about the spirit of the law. So Isa alayhi salam comes in and says, that is wrong. And he would say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And then Isa alayhi salam would speak on behalf of them, blessed are those who are naked, for they will be clothed. Blessed are those who are hungry, for they will be fed. Blessed are those who are thirsty, for they will be given drink. We see in Shu'aib during the time of Shu'aib alayhi salam, there is a lot of injustice, economical injustice that are taking place, where the poor are exploited, people are dealing with fraud. What does Shu'aib come and talk about? Does he talk about any other problem than the problem that is prevailing in their own time? Shu'aib alayhi salam comes and addresses that point. لَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْفَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Do not deprive people of that which is due to them. And do not go around spreading corruption in the land. This was the problem of his people, the problem of his time. So in the name of religion, he came to liberate those who were enslaved, emancipate those who were downtrodden, and address the ills of his society back then. What we have done as a Muslim community is that we have taken the problems from the past and we made it into our own problems. where we are discussing issues that are 500 years old, and we want to make them the problems of the people of Chennai in 2005, even though these problems have taken place 500 years ago. At that point, what happens is that there is this disconnection between religion and reality, that people are no longer interested in religion. In Europe nowadays, they have a big problem. They're closing down the churches. And you would only go, if you go to Europe and also parts of the US, what's happening is that you'd only see senior citizens, people who are over 65 years old. And younger generations, they're not really there. And you would ask, what is going on? And they would say that there's been a disconnection between the reality of what is going on and the teachings that are taking place in the church. And sometimes also in Muslim countries, it's been a custom that you only go to the masjid if you're old. And if they see a young man in the masjid, they say, what are you doing here? You're still young. Go and enjoy your youth. You know, the masjid is not where you belong. Well, the masjid sometimes is not where the youth belong, simply because the masjid is not addressing the issues that pertain to the youth. So brothers and sisters, again, you know, the Quran addresses issues of reality.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children scream. Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Assalamu alaikum, Umar.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Have you heard that Hassan has given his zakat to Peace TV?
Yeah, I know. I too have given a zakat to Peace TV.
What? Can zakat be given to a television channel?
If it's a non-profit Islamic television channel, then yeah, I'm sure.
Several fatwas from distinguished Islam.